Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The Ohio General Assembly is on its summer break, but the people who cover it never sleep. The journalists of the Ohio General, the Ohio Legislative Correspondents Association, is the name of the organization of which the members cover the Ohio General Assembly and state government and politics. And I have three of them in here, three old friends. Jim Siegel from the Columbus Dispatch. Jim, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And Laura Bischoff of the Dayton Daily News. Laura, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And Kieran Kassler, as always, she just got in here about 45 seconds ago.
I've actually been in the newsroom chatting it up with my friends in there, but it's great to be here.
Kieran Kassler, Bureau Chief at the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. We have lots to talk about. We thought we would kick it off, and it is summer, but there's lots to talk about. We thought we'd kick it off with the... Laura Bischoff wrote a story while I was away, and it's about how six of the nine members of the Jobs Ohio Board of Directors have direct financial ties to companies that have received tax credits and other assistance from state government or Jobs Ohio since Governor John Kasich took office in 2011. That's according to public records. Tell us what inspired this story and what else you found.
Well, you know, Jobs Ohio seems to be, constantly in the news, and there's always... good angles to take on that. We looked at the directors and kind of their financial ties. We found that six of the nine are either employed by, sit on the board of, or hold stock in companies that receive state assistance or assistance from Jobs Ohio. And also, Jobs Ohio assisted two subsidiaries of Worthington Industries. It's a Columbus-based company that has close ties to or had close ties to John Kasich. Kasich served as a director on the Worthington Industries board for, I think, almost 10 years or just a little less than 10 years. He resigned when he became governor. And it's interesting because Jobs Ohio said, well, you know, most of those projects, you know, that all started on the state side before Jobs Ohio started up. But yet, if you look at the Jobs Ohio annual reports and quarterly reports, they kind of list these companies on their brag sheet. As getting assistance from Jobs Ohio. So it seems that they want to claim some credit anyway, but they don't. When this story came up, though, they said they really didn't have anything to do with it.
A spokesman for the governor said that the Kasich administration wanted to stock Jobs Ohio with experienced, successful business leaders and investors. And Governor Kasich was saying that all along. We want people who really know how to run a business to be on this panel. They understand what companies need and that sort of thing. And he said... The spokesperson said it is working. Jobs Ohio, in part, is responsible for 162,000 private sector jobs. The old way of having people with no business experience resulted in the loss of 400,000 jobs. What's he comparing there?
Well, he's saying that under Strickland, under former Democratic Governor Ted Strickland, that Ohio lost 400,000 jobs, and that the economy has turned around. And there again, he's heaping a lot of credit onto Jobs Ohio.
Okay, but I mean, Strickland did it the same way that Taft did it before him,
right, and
that
Voinovich
did it before him, okay, so this is brand new.
Yeah, that would be that's what we would call selective statistics. And you know, you pick out the point in times that you think make your point look best, and those are what you go with. And so he picked out the point in times that during the Great Recession, and said, "Look, we lost all these jobs. We need to do something different." You really can't blame Governor Strickland for all those jobs lost. You really can't credit, you know, Governor Kasich for all the jobs we've picked up since then. It's, you know, the governors just generally have a limited ability to move the needle. I mean, they have some. There's no doubt about it. I think Governor Kasich does a good job in terms of promoting Ohio and talking up our assets. But it's not just as easy as I created Jobs Ohio and suddenly we went from 400,000 down to 140,000 up. It's just not that simple.
Yeah, I don't think there's a direct causal relationship there.
Jobs Ohio spokeswoman Laura Jones said that the state assistance to the companies came before Jobs Ohio began operating in July 2011, as you mentioned. She said that they have a conflict of interest policy that is in place to utilize I'm picking from a quote here, and I should not do that. They have a conflict of interest policy in place at Jobs Ohio, and she said if there is a conflict, it'll be brought to the attention of the full board, and policy will be followed on how to go forward with that. What do we know about a conflict of interest policy?
So they have an internal policy, and it sort of mirrors how nonprofits typically do it.
But if it goes before the board, and the board's what you're reporting on—
So if the four of us are on the board and you have a conflict and we're dealing with some company that you have a tie to, you're supposed to come to everybody else and say, hey, look, I have a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're supposed to leave the room and we're going to talk about it and say, well, you know, do you really think Ann has a conflict? I don't know. Da, da, da. And then we, as the disinterested board members, we decide whether or not there's a conflict.
And do we have records of how often the
board
has... Well,
that's the other thing is their policy says that they have to keep minutes and it has to say that the name of the person who disclosed and what the issue was, et cetera. There are no minutes because they've never really invoked this part of the policy. They're saying that you know that these issues, these incentives, that the board doesn't vote on these incentives. That's all done at a staff level, and therefore they don't really have a direct tie. So then it's kind of like, well, what does the board do? Well, they set policy and they hire the chief investment officer. And the other question I have is like, okay, if there is a conflict, if the staff is doing this, right, what mm-hmm. staff member is going to say, you know, I'm going to recommend against giving a assistance to a company that has direct ties to my board chairman or whatever?
And some of these companies are really big companies. I mean, these are some of the biggest companies in Ohio that have some of these board members here. And so, you know, we're talking a lot of money, potentially, maybe not for the company itself, but certainly the state investment is pretty big. And, you know, Governor Kasich coming in had been very clear that he felt like the Department of Development was not working. He had a lot of people who were advising his campaign who said the Department of Development is not a good idea, that this public-private entity is the way to go, and other states were doing this. And it was no real surprise, I think, when he came up with this idea. But now, of course, it's, you know, turned into a campaign issue already. And you've got Democrats who are saying that Jobs Ohio needs to be investigated. It's going to be a major campaign issue next year in the 2014 campaign. And so it's for an agency that we don't know a whole lot about because we don't have a whole lot of records, there's a lot of talk about it.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And my guest this hour, you just heard from Karen Kassler, Bureau Chief at the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. Also with us, we've been talking about her stories, Laura Bischoff, Statehouse Correspondent at the Dayton Daily News, and Jim Siegel as well. He's a Statehouse Reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Question or comment about the topic, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Right. Jobs Ohio, we've said it before, is exempt from state audits, public records laws, and some ethics laws. What ethics laws would they be exempt from?
Well, for example, the board members have to file annual financial disclosure statements with the Ethics Commission, but they're considered confidential filers, similar to like some of the like the OSU Board of Trustees. The trustees, I think, I'm pretty sure they file, but unless there's a conflict, it doesn't that portion or the entire thing does not become public. So they file disclosures, and then that's it. In terms of getting their travel paid for by some other company or having, getting wined and dined.
They don't have to release those kind of things?
No, they're exempt from those kind of prohibitions. And it's interesting because I think it was... Ben Rose was the chairman of the commission back when Jobs Ohio was getting formed in the legislature, and he went and testified and said, "Look, this is a bad idea. We don't think you should exempt Jobs Ohio from the ethics law. What it's going to do is it's going to create like its own little parallel universe where they have to do their own self-regulation." And they recommended against it, but the legislature went ahead and did it anyway.
And to put it into context, for instance, the people who are on the boards of, say, the public employee retirement system or the state teachers retirement system, they have to reveal if they've gotten tickets to a football game or a Broadway show or wining and dining at a fancy restaurant or a crummy restaurant for that matter, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they also have, I'm pretty sure they also have campaign finance reporting requirements now, too. Because they actually are elected by their members.
Which brings up another question I guess this kind of a story just brings up lots of questions about Jobs Ohio in general. Are there categories that the governor fills in terms of who's on the board, or is it just whoever he wants? Or, in other words, are there any small businesses represented on the board?
I don't know that there are. I can't remember who's all on the board, but
They got the guy from Marathon Oil. They have James Bolin is a retired Cleveland Cavaliers executive, and he's been on the Sherwin Williams board since 1998. Gary Heminger from Marathon Oil was on there. Steve Davis from Bob Evans. Gordon Gee from Ohio State also on the Bob Evans board of directors.
John Miner.
John Miner is the chief investment officer. He is the one who is not appointed by the governor. He is appointed by the fellow board members. The guy from the UDF.
Yeah, Larry UDF. Kidd. Manta Media. It doesn't look like a whole big representation for small businesses here.
Or even medium-sized businesses.
There we go, yeah.
Jobs Ohio, our very own mystery.
Well, and the underlying issue with a lot of this is the transparency concerns. Like as we said, they've exempted themselves from public records laws, from public meetings laws. So, you know, we just don't have the kind of transparency you get with other governmental agencies. And when you're talking about an agency that's, you know, going to be, you know, that is receiving upwards of $100 million or more in state liquor profits to operate. And give out incentives to businesses. I mean, they may do terrific things. You know, we don't know. But at the same time, you know, it's just something that you're going to take a skeptical look at, and Laura and others are going to continue to dig and make sure that there aren't these inherent problems with an agency like this.
And you have the governor's office also saying that, hey, these decision about tax credits are left to the state tax credit authority. So it's that. Kind of implying it seems like that there's a firewall there. There's somebody else making those decisions, but is there?
Are you asking me?
I'm just throwing that out there.
Jobs Ohio makes recommendations to the tax credit authority,
yes.
but there's other assistance that Jobs Ohio is lending out to these companies. I think Jim's right. It's sort of a black box because the way they have it structured. I'd never thought that the Ohio Department of Development was all that. Open about any kind of deals that they were doing before the deal was signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah.
And so this idea that you need secrecy, I think they had a level of confidentiality, the necessary confidentiality under the old structure. This just takes it even further.
Yeah, the Department of Development was hardly an open book. I mean, and there's some reasons for that. You know, I understand, you don't want to if a company comes in and starts talking to the state about, where we might move to and what we might do, you don't want that suddenly appearing in newspapers all over the state because that might have some competitive disadvantage problems for that company. But at the same time, they did have to disclose things. Their employees were under the ethics laws. We knew who was accountable for what. And so, it was a different animal.
And I believe we could see salaries and that
right.
sort of thing,
yep.
which is a problem. And of course, the annual report for Jobs Ohio has been kind of criticized for not being very specific, 100-some thousand jobs. Where are these jobs? Where did they go? Are these jobs now? Are these jobs in the future? Are they promised jobs? Are they
They're
jobs
not
that actually happening?
Delineating any of that? They're just these, their executive summary must be about a page long then.
It's more than a page, but it's very glossy. It's very
marketing.
It's very marketing. The thing that I thought was missing was that balance sheet that says, here's how much we spent, here's where it all went. And you see that in annual reports from other companies where you've got these dollar figures in, dollar figures out, and where they went. And that was what was missing for me, at least.
And the other thing that kind of raises some skepticism is, that the legislature just rammed through the provision that made it so that the state auditor cannot audit the money that Jobs
right.
Ohio is receiving. So, and that was over the objections of the state auditor.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so
the Republican state auditor, by the way.
Right. I mean, they put it through before he even had a chance to read it.
And he actually did write a letter to the Ohio General Assembly, or was it the governor?
Saying, hey, hold up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Time out.
He basically said there's nothing gained by, you know, rushing this through. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be where mistakes happen. And, you know, there was and a part of this was over a, you know, there was a I'm trying to remember the exact dollar amount. My colleague Joe Varden's written a lot more about this than I have. But there was an amount of public money of, you know, direct GRF money that went to Jobs Ohio that kind of surprised people. Yeah, $6.9 million.
I thought they paid that back, though.
They did. And well, that's part of this. All of a sudden, you know, they passed this that you can't audit them anymore. And then all of a sudden that $6.9 million is paid back to the state, of course, using liquor profits to pay back. And
actually, it was $8.4 million. They had some unnamed donors contributed $6.9 million to Jobs Ohio. That's according to a Dispatch story that ran in May on the IRS filings.
And that unnamed donors, I mean, you don't know who those are. And to find them, it's almost like you have to guess and then look for the guess.
You need a tip.
Yeah,
you need somebody to tip you off.
And otherwise, you'd be looking the needle in the haystack.
Yeah, like that. I think Joe Varden did some good stories on how AEP in their SEC filings disclosed that they had contributed, I think, $1.9 or $2 million.
Yeah, about $2 million. And again, this is AEP was a company that, you know, was known to be kind of in the Kasich administration's doghouse because of what happened in the election. And so
the question being, is this another way to influence Petal? Now, we'll get to that in a second. We have to take a quick break. I don't want to leave it at that. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be right back. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have a reporter roundtable today. We've been spending some time talking about Jobs Ohio. We've talked about it before. We're talking about it again in lieu of recent stories about it by Laura Bischoff, State House correspondent at the Dayton Daily News, and also with us Karen Kassler from Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, and Jim Siegel of the Columbus Dispatch. If you have a question or comment, we welcome them, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Laura, give us some examples of possible conflict of interest, I guess is the question here. Or,
well, like we were just saying on the break, we don't really know what is going on there because they've shielded themselves from public records laws and from open meetings laws. And from a good level of disclosure. Now they've had some kind of rough patches in the news. The Dispatch reported in January that the SEC filing showed that AEP had donated $2 million to Jobs Ohio back in September of 2011. And then it came out that the state gave or had somehow gotten a grant to Jobs Ohio of about $5.3 million by rolling it through this Jobs Ohio Beverage System nonprofit creation, whatever. They ended up, with some extra state money that was seemingly off the books. The controlling board kind of got caught unaware of that. And then there was all this pressure from the state auditor, like, okay, let's audit the books. And they said, no, you can't audit the books. You can't audit the books. And they gave a bunch of the state money back, I think $8.4 million back. I think they turned over some of the records to sort of avoid a big showdown.
So if they've given it back, therefore, we don't have a right to know how it was spent in the first place.
I think that's sort of the strategy behind that.
Right. And the argument from the Republicans has been that, outside of Dave Yost, who tried to audit them, has been that this is a nonprofit. And, you know, the auditor does not have the authority to come in and just comb through their books. This is a private nonprofit entity. Now, of course, the argument against that is that, sure, this is a nonprofit entity, but it's one that was created by the legislature. The board is completely appointed by the governor, and it's funded almost entirely by state liquor profits. So, you know, it's hardly what anyone would call your typical private nonprofit.
And even a nonprofit has to open up its books for inspection, doesn't it?
It depends. I mean, nonprofits have to file 990 forms, their annual tax returns. And I thought back when Betty Montgomery was the state auditor, I thought she was fighting to get get the books open for, I think it was Oriana House. It was some sort of a nonprofit that was receiving a significant amount of funding. Like the majority of their funding was from government sources, and they wanted to try and see what they were up to.
And didn't Bill Batchelder have an opinion on that as a judge at the time, saying that Oriana House should be open and that its books should be open, but then kind of reversed himself when it came to Jobs Ohio as speaker. That's my recollection, because Bill Batchelder was out of the state legislature for a period of time. He was actually a judge at one point because of the term limits issue and that sort of thing.
Bill in Grove City, you're on the air. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I mostly just have a comment. I was watching Fox News yesterday, so you didn't have to. And Eric Cantner came on, and the very first thing out of his mouth was, government never produces a single job. Now, that said, what's the point of Jobs Ohio, since it seems to be an entirely government entity financed by the taxpayers, authorized by the legislature? How can it possibly create any jobs? I'll just take my answer off the air.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Well, you know, Jobs Ohio is set up to try to market the state as a good place to do business, to help.
But there was the Department of Development to do that before.
There were criticisms, some of them probably legit, that the Department of Development was not as nimble as it should be.
It was not as responsive as it should be.
Sure, it was also bogged down with a whole bunch of other responsibilities outside of economic development, too. So, you know, so the thought is, and you know, and who knows, it may not be in general a bad idea to think that, you know, we create one separate entity that does nothing but economic development. We pour a lot of money into it and let them go at it and really maybe, you know, try to come up with ways to do this. But as of right now, I mean, most of their employees there are Department of Development employees that just moved over and got paid more.
And
from what I understand, they're using a lot of the same programs that the Department of Development
used.
And
we have no way to measure how successful they are.
Well, and I think they took a lot of heat back a couple of years ago when NCR left the Dayton area and the Wilmington Air Park, when DHL left there, and there was this attitude of, why didn't the Department of Development stop this? Why didn't they know what was going on? And how can we, I think the Republican attitude was, how can we create an agency that's going to be on top of all this stuff to try to be more competitive? I think that was the overall goal. And again, I think Kasich's people were advised by folks who said the Department of Development is not doing what you want it to do because it's bogged down by other things. It's got, you know, the heating assistance program in there and tourism and all these other things. And so there's got to be another way. And so I think this was one of the ideas. Other states had tried this with degrees of success and failure. And so this was the solution that Kasich came up with and campaigned on it. This was not a surprise when he did this.
But Ray in Columbus, you think that this is going to be a major campaign issue.
Yes, I do. I think it's pretty bad whenever you have that where no one can check you. You can't be audited. No one can keep an eye on where the money's going.
It's already a campaign issue. You're already seeing the Democrats bring that up. And just last week, I think there were two press conferences by the Democrats about Jobs Ohio in particular, and not just at the top of the ticket with Ed Fitzgerald, but all the other people who are going to be running on the statewide ticket next year.
This is all sides of the answer. Go ahead.
They need to have it so that at least someone can, you know, check it. See where the money's going, I would think. But, you know, I just work, you know.
You're just,
everyday worker.
Well, we're glad you called and joined the show. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Sorry, let's put on our campaign election hats. The governor will be up for re-election in 2014. He is unopposed at the primary level.
For now.
There's one campaign. Because I think that one of the earlier callers made a good point, the guy who listens to Fox, so that this runs amok with classic conservative values, especially Tea Party. And Laura, you did quote an organization in your story. A conservative think tank.
Yeah, Matt Mayer, he's formerly of the Buckeye Institute. Okay. He runs a think tank called Opportunity Ohio, and he's been very critical of this. And, you know, it's interesting because the 1851 Center, which is also a very conservative organization, and Progress Ohio, a very liberal organization, have teamed up, and they have a lawsuit pending in the Ohio Supreme Court on whether or not this is legal to even set this up in this manner. I think there's a lot of liberals and conservatives that they see this as the wrong path.
As far as campaigning and that sort of thing goes, can they simplify it and make it understandable enough so that voters don't get too bogged down? Now, remember CoinGate? That was so easy to there was a lot of stuff that was complicated, but it was easy to boil it down and have at least one couple good explainers of CoinGate.
I think the thing with the BWC investment scandal, it was twofold. Most people probably wouldn't be able to explain it. I think the three of us could.
The Bureau of Workers' Compensation is
right, and I think that the thing that boiled it down for folks is that they found out that there was millions of dollars invested in Beanie Babies and rare coins out of the state insurance fund, and they just.
That didn't seem right.
Fundamentally, people thought, that's not right. Now, the question is whether or not the Democrats can boil Jobs Ohio down into an understandable, I don't want to say scandal. I think that's too strong of a word, but
they've already come up with the slogan, Robs Ohio. So yeah. That's very, we're all
slogans. And even politicians are nothing. The logo of Jobs Ohio to reflect this.
Yeah, politicians are nothing if not good at naming things.
Let me ask you this. Do we know or are we able to find out that $100 million in liquor profits, give or take, do we know whether they actually invest that money or is it just sitting there? Do we know what they do with that money?
I don't think it's in a cash drawer, if that's
no,
what you're saying.
No, exactly. But is it invested, and where does it go?
I would presume they have it in some accounts.
Just
making
sitting
something.
There. Yeah.
But the main thing is that's those are proceeds off their bond issue.
Right. Yeah. This was all paid for with bonds, borrowed money basically against future liquor profits. So, but no, we don't. I mean, we don't know in a day to day accounting at any. But there will be an annual report. They will have an auditing done by an auditing firm that Jobs Ohio hires and brings in. So there will be, there will be some accounting,
and we'll be
for
able
it,
to
but,
see.
But
the...
it's not going to, but there are still questions about just how detailed it would be. And to go back, you mentioned about the campaign issue and what will make this easy or not. I mean, the transparency issue is going to be kind of how they'll boil it down. No transparency, but I think a lot of it will depend on the job numbers. If we have continued struggles with our job creation and our job growth right now, in the last 12 months, we've had pretty flat job numbers. We're 47th in the nation in job creation in the last 12 months. If that kind of trend continues, then it's easier to make the argument against a Jobs Ohio, because you could just argue that it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Now, if the job numbers go up, I think regardless of the transparency issues, Governor Kasich has a much easier time explaining that why this is necessary.
I think the challenge for Democrats at this point is to try to explain Jobs Ohio in 10 seconds or less or 30 seconds or less in a campaign ad.
What's wrong with
Jobs
Ohio?
And to try to get that message out in a very clear and concise way, that's going to be really difficult. We've spent 35 minutes talking about this. So I was talking to, for our TV show, The State of Ohio, this past weekend, Neil Clark, who's a Republican, used to be the budget guy for the Senate Republicans, and Bill Schurte, who used to be the budget guy for Democratic Governor Dick Celeste, talking about this issue. And they both agreed that possibly, unless the jobs numbers really go crazy, that maybe the only thing that Governor Kasich could stand to lose here, could make him lose, would be a scandal. And so I'm just wondering if the Democrats aren't going to try to connect the dots to make this look scandalous.
Okay, and I got a couple emails I want to get to and questions, but before we, what about the former head of the State Highway Patrol?
Tom Charles.
Tom Charles going to Jobs Ohio. What's he doing there?
As far as I know, it's an advisory role. He's not in a
the only thing
capacity.
I mean I'm hearing from sources that he may do some sort of ethics inspector general kind of,
but he'll
position
answer
there
to the board.
Yeah, it hasn't been defined or disclosed yet, so it's really kind of a big question mark.
I think the idea is, though, that he's an investigative powerhouse. You know, he's got a cachet that kind of follows him for some folks, for people who know who he is, maybe. But then, you know, if he doesn't answer to anybody but the board, then what is he doing there?
Right. Well, and Ed Fitzgerald last week, the Democrat running for governor, right, called for the Ohio Ethics Commission to look into Jobs Ohio, and the head of the Ethics Commission said, I don't have that authority. They've written themselves out of the law, so I don't have the authority to do that.
Well, actually, the Ohio General Assembly wrote them out of the law,
right,
at their request. From John in Marysville asks, why did Krish Schmink, former mayor of Marysville, leave Jobs Ohio so early in the process? Was she interim? Wasn't she interim?
She was the head of the Department of Development.
Right.
Not Jobs Ohio particularly.
Which doesn't exist anymore, by the way. The Development
right,
Department's
it's now
been
the
renamed.
Department of
Development Services.
Yeah. Development
yeah.
Services.
Yeah.
And that they do tourism and the heating assistance program and that kind of stuff still. What about the international development part arm of Ohio Department of Development? You know, remember the governors used to go on international trips, trade missions?
And hasn't been one of those since. I don't think Strickland even went on one of those.
Well, like, but Governor Kasich did go to Davos,
yeah,
Switzerland,
true,
to an economic forum there. That was a biggie one, big trip.
So we don't have offices in Mexico and wherever anymore. We don't know.
We scaled those back. I don't know that we have none, but I know we've.
But those are the kind of things that I think the people who were critical of Department of
yes.
Development said, what are these for? Why is the governor spending 2 weeks in Japan or whatever? And what's the payoff for that? And it's interesting, that same question, what's the payoff for the money that we're investing? We're still asking that question
yeah.
now.
Yeah, the eternal question. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have questions. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guests, Laura Bischoff of the Dayton Daily News, Karen Kassler of Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau, and Jim Siegel of the Columbus Dispatch. We've been talking about Jobs Ohio, that entity that was created by the Ohio General Assembly at the behest of the governor of Ohio, John Kasich, who has sole appointing authority to who serves on the board. Laura Bischoff's written recently about some of the transactions between Ohio Jobs Ohio and companies that are represented by members of the board. So
that's right. Six of, as we said earlier in the show, six of the nine members on the board have they're either employed by, sit on the board of directors of, or hold stock in companies that have received assistance from either the state or from Jobs Ohio since John Kasich took office in 2011.
I want to get to a couple calls, but first an email from Brendan. He writes, State Auditor David Yost stated on 10 TV's Capitol Square after the passage of SB 67, which removed his ability to audit Jobs Ohio, that his hands were tied. But according to a June 11th article in Gongwar, which is a news agency, Columbus State Representative John Patrick Carney sent a letter to Auditor Yost urging him to audit Jobs Ohio while he still has the chance. Representative Carney's letter reminded Yost that a bill does not go into effect until 90 days after it's signed unless there's an emergency. I'm parenthetically saying unless there's an emergency. In this case, Senate Bill 67 will not go into effect until early September. According to the Gongwar article, Auditor Yost reversed course and decided to audit Jobs Ohio as a result of Representative Carney's prodding. Since then, we have not heard anything about this, but I want to know what Jobs Ohio is doing with the hundreds of millions of public dollars they are using. I'm curious to hear Laura Bischoff's thoughts on how all this fits into the bigger story.
The bigger story being, is Jobs Ohio being a campaign liability for John Kasich?
Well, whether or not is Dave Yost auditing?
I don't think we know. I mean, these audits take a tremendous amount of time. So if he did decide to start an audit, you know, the day that John Carney sent that letter, we wouldn't know for quite a while.
Right.
And they did release some documents to Dave Yost's office. So, yeah, I think Yost's office is doing something, but what they're doing and what they're going to release and, you know, that's all unknown.
And it's also something to mention here that, you know, of all the folks who are on the ballot next year, David Yost is one of them. And so just putting that out there.
And Carney's going to try to run
against
him.
That's right, absolutely.
John Patrick Carney.
Okay. Ed, in Baltimore, you're on the air. Welcome, Ed.
Yes, and you mentioned, somebody mentioned that it's hard to put the Jobs Ohio thing in a 30-second commercial, but it's very easy. You can do it in 10 seconds. It's basically that Jobs Ohio takes money from the only public agency that actually makes money for the state, gives it to a private enterprise whose board members have gotten money from that enterprise for their companies. That's it. You can put a whole series of ads together based on that. Now, I also sent a letter to Dave Yost after this whole thing came about and they tried to cut him off. But I look at it this way. I don't give my money when I go to the store and I buy beer or I buy alcohol. I don't give my money to Jobs Ohio. I give my money to the state. So unless Jobs Ohio has a separate account that they're keeping the state money in, as opposed to the money they've gotten from other companies to fund this agency to start up, then they need to be audited. And the auditor needs to look at all of that to find out where the money's going, who it's going to, and who might profit from it and where there might be a conflict of interest. I thought from the beginning this whole thing was a boondoggle. And as far as I'm concerned, whether it goes through or not, I think if Governor Kasich gets reelected, I think this is going to be a Watergate type of incident for him in his second term.
That idea of commingling money, I think other people have brought that up, saying, you know, unless this money is in a lockbox somewhere, how do we know? And therefore, we should be able to look at that. So I think that point has been said and has also been refuted by the governor's office.
I mean, the original concept here when this was first rolled out was the state would actually, their Jobs Ohio would actually take part ownership in companies.
Yeah.
They would be a minority or even a majority owner in companies, and they would try to help them get off the ground. And, you know, there was all this talk about, you know, being the next Google and making the state all this money. And but that was backed off when I think there was a lot of legal questions raised about whether they could, you know, the state could constitutionally put that together. And so that never came to be. So now they're, you know, we're trying to get they're trying to find other ways to, you know, to put together incentives and deals and marketing and make sure that, you know, we bring jobs to the state.
You know, it hasn't been since, I think just in February is when they did their bond issue and they're starting to get the proceeds from that. So that's when, you know, there hasn't in the year and a half or 2 years that they've been working on establishing Jobs Ohio, they haven't had $100 million to spend. It's been this, you know, $8, $9 million in state funding and private funding that's been going through there. But going forward, it's going to be a really big deal because that's a lot of money, $100 million.
Well, and also I was timing, in a way, in my head, the caller's 30-second ad campaign or 10 seconds or whatever. And, yeah, he's under 10 seconds with the statement that he just made. But the question is, will the Democrats be able to make people care about that? And will they be able to translate it to people who are thinking about their own personal financial situations? Because that's how most people vote. And it typically is the person who's in office, if the economy is improving, will get a tremendous amount of credit for that. And so that's going to be the Democrats' challenge, is not only to make this Jobs Ohio situation look bad, but also to make people care about it.
Ed in Baltimore, thanks a lot for your call. James in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, James.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? This is a very interesting conversation.
Thank you.
Listen, I think that Jobs Ohio is farce. I believe that it's just another way to bundle money and steal and do underhanded, corrupt things. I believe that money is going through everybody's hands except for the general public. Nobody knows about it. Anytime you ask questions, it's always asked, and they're answered in a definitive or defensive mode. What is the big secret?
James, I want to try to get at that because I haven't been to the press conferences. So when people are talking with the governor about this, the issue, I mean, does anyone put it to him like, gosh, governor, what about the appearance? I mean, aren't you worried that people like James don't trust you because you won't divulge more information?
I think that the governor consistently turns it around and says, look, I care about jobs. That's what I care about. And the best way to get jobs and to help companies grow in Ohio is to have a nimble, flexible private organization to lend them the assistance that they need.
Okay. James, thanks a lot for your call. Thanks for listening. John in Dublin, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, John.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having a great topic today. I'm a conservative, and as I listen to the two writers who obviously are well-versed in the subject, I don't know if I've heard anybody. I'm riding my bike around, so I haven't heard everything that's been discussed. But it seems like what both the reporters are saying is that the government isn't doing a good job at creating jobs, and this new nonprofit entity is not doing a good job for stimulating job growth in Ohio. But it seems like it's just a sort of a cousin of government, not really a nonprofit because it's leaning so heavily on government funding. Could you discuss that question? Maybe that's outside of the...
No,
the,
nothing's outside of the... This is kind of a... So much to talk
about. In
the last
few years on the national level, we've put a lot of money into so-called investment, and it just seems like it's a dry hole to me. And I'm with you. I support Governor Kasich, but I don't support the lack of accountability and transparency in this, and that's appalling. This is the first I've really heard of it. That's summer vacation time for me, but I appreciate the chance to hear this because I'm going to start trying to read some on this, but I'd like to hear comments if you get a second. Thanks.
Karen, I think Kassler? Of the three of us here, I don't think any of us are saying that Jobs Ohio isn't working. I think what we're saying is we don't know what's going on. And I think that's the frustration that we're all expressing here is that we want to know more, but it seems like there isn't a way to find out.
Now,
more.
They're saying that Jobs Ohio said in its 2012 annual report that Jobs Ohio and its partners helped 277 companies that committed to creating or retaining 75,612 jobs and invest $5.8 billion in the state. But we don't know that. They told us that, but they don't have any.
Well, there's a lot of questions when you throw numbers out like that.
Right.
What are we, what kind of jobs are we talking about? Would these companies have still done what they were going to do even without Jobs Ohio? Would the Department of Development have done the same thing? Without, before and
how do you measure success?
Exactly. And it's very difficult because, the economy is complicated. Job creation is complicated. Sometimes you if you sit around a state house enough, you would think taxes are the only thing in the world that drives jobs. That's not true. You would think that it's all about more government spending and more, workforce and education and better parks and police. You'd think that if you spent more money in government, then that will bring jobs. Well, it's more complicated than that. It's more complicated than what kind of incentives we give the companies through Jobs Ohio, the Department of Development, or any other entity that we may come up with. So it's all about, it's hard to measure what what is actually working and what isn't. All you can do is kind of look at some of the overall numbers. Jobs Ohio just hasn't been around long enough yet to really give it a grade in terms of how it's doing so far.
I think the caller's right in that government really doesn't create jobs. Government can help businesses by having reasonable, understandable regulations, tax policy that's not too complicated, not too onerous. But there's other things that government can do that help businesses and help job creation that kind of go sort of unsung, like having good schools, having well-trained workers, decent roads, a good location, utility costs. There's all these other factors that go into whether or not a company wants to build in Ohio or grow in Ohio. And I think that some of those other factors kind of get the short shift sometimes.
Well, and I'm curious to see, how do they count the recent deal that was in the media, this TimberTech?
Tell us about that,
well,
Jim.
I didn't write the stories. I hope I don't mess the details. But, they closed a plant in Columbus. I think it was about 59, 60 jobs that were lost, and they're moving out toward, I think is it Wilmington? Is that
mm-hmm.
is that right?
That's
correct. They're expanding out in Wilmington, and they're hiring more than that. I think it's 85. They're creating
right.
85 out there. Now, in the end, what are we going to just count the 85? I think that's the question when it gets added up. Are we going to say we've created 85 jobs? And we're going to ignore the fact that they shut down a plant in Columbus mm-hmm. and we lost over 50.
In other words, we netted
50.
35 jobs, let's just say.
Right.
Or are they going to say 85?
And this comes up as a question of, is this an issue of state money being used, or Jobs Ohio money, or whatever you want to call it, being used to help one community within Ohio poach from another one. Now, Jobs Ohio says, look, TimberTech said, we're going to be consolidating our work in Columbus. We're going to move. Is it going to be within Ohio, or is it going to be somewhere else? And so they felt like they had to help them move in just to keep them in Ohio.
Yeah, and even Mayor Mike Coleman, he even said, you know, look, we realized they were going to shut down regardless. He wasn't really blaming the Columbus mayor wasn't really blaming Jobs Ohio for shutting down their plant and moving these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
My point is just at the end of the day, how many jobs did Ohio gain, and how many are we going to see on the reports?
And that's an issue for some communities too. You have some communities complaining, but because of state cuts, they're having to do levies, and that can sometimes come into play with communities deciding where they're going to set up shop. You saw that with American Greetings up in Northeast Ohio,
mm-hmm.
And so this idea of communities competing against one another is really a challenge.
Dale from Worthington asks, why isn't Jobs Ohio affected by the Ohio Sunshine Law, a law requiring organizations receiving taxpayer money to be audited?
Because they were basically written out of the Ohio's Sunshine
Law.
There
used to be just 7 exemptions when I first came to Ohio.
Yeah, they are essentially exempted from that part of the law.
They're one of many exemptions now.
Yeah, there aren't 7 anymore.
Nope. Those are the good old days.
Yeah, we're into the double letters now.
Oh, yeah.
The Ohio General Assembly wrote the law on Jobs Ohio as to exempt them from oversight, public oversight, state auditor's oversight, any oversight.
There ain't no sunshine for Jobs Ohio.
Yeah.
Well, I always wonder, and of course this is hypothetical, so you never know, but what if Ted Strickland had proposed this?
Or is this going to stay in place if we have a Democratic governor next couple of years?
What if a Democratic governor with the Republican legislature had proposed to funnel $100 million in state liquor money to a private entity that could not be audited by the auditor or was exempt from ethics and open meetings laws. I just wonder what the reaction would be. I mean,
anything like that would get through in a Republican General Assembly?
Well, right. I just wonder. Yeah. It always kind of fascinated me. You know, it's. You know, this is not to say it's necessarily a good or bad idea. I just think politically, if one side had, I think no matter, you know, which side it was, would have offered this up, the Democrat or the Republican, the other side would have made the same arguments that are being made now, probably.
I would not argue with you.
I wouldn't argue at all.
And yet here it is, and this is what we have to work with now. It's here. It's
and not only that, but the state signed a 25-year lease on the liquor profits.
Right.
I was
going
to say, you took the words. I was going to ask, what's the turnaround? I mean, is there any way to turn back the hands of time anyway?
No, I think that if a future governor wants to try to open Jobs Ohio to have more transparency, he or she could do that, working with if the General Assembly would agree. But I don't think in the next 25 years, I don't know that they could undo this deal.
I don't know if you'd really want to completely undo it. Because, look, and by the time a next governor comes in, we're talking about still another year and a half. I mean, it could be disruptive if you suddenly – you have this, you know, this entity and it's starting to build up some credibility, some notoriety nationally and even maybe globally. You know, it might be more trouble than it's worth to try to dismantle it. Like Laura said, there's probably some other things
maybe
you can do to open it up.
Maybe not dismantle it, but...
But yeah, you might...
But maybe you want to open it up for more transparency and say, well, you know, we do want the state auditor to look at the books under certain conditions, et cetera.
And I think there's still the Supreme Court case that's out there still
yes,
on this.
That's
and
right.
So that could determine a lot what way forward this goes. But I don't know that there's anybody who's definitely saying Jobs Ohio is the worst thing ever and it, we need to shut it down. Most people are saying, what's going on? We need more information. We need to open it up and be more transparent about it.
I mean, it's not Obamacare. We don't have to take 40 votes to get rid of it, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's if anyone wants to.
Can I add one more thing?
On
the Jobs Ohio note, real quickly, yesterday, the last thing at the Ohio State Fair was the sale of champions, the livestock auction.
Mm-hmm.
And the first head of Jobs Ohio, Mark Kwame, actually was there and bought 3 animals, which I thought was kind of interesting. So
what did he buy?
He bought the market goat, the market barrow champion, and then the reserve market steer.
Any insights into this?
$97,500 he spent. And he and his wife live in Sunbury now and apparently have a farm, and this is something they wanted to do.
So I hope they have a lot of property.
It was a unique situation to see the former head of Jobs Ohio, who was a big billionaire tech investor, standing there at the Ohio State Fair with a cowboy hat on, bidding in the sale of champions alongside Bob Evans and Meyer.
He's just gone completely Buckeye on us.
Yeah, he's gone Buckeye.
All right. Well, Laura Bischoff, State House correspondent at the Dayton Daily News, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We will have a link to her story on our website at WOSU.org/outsides. No, we won't.
Because we have a paywall. The Dayton Daily News, and everybody should get their digital subscription and pay for our great content.
Well, it's a good story, Laura. Sorry. Jim Siegel, State House reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And also Kieran Kassler, Bureau Chief for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
And Joe Ingles interviewed Laura Bischoff for our story, so you can see that, I believe, on the WOSU website.
All right. You can see that on WOSU.org. Our website is WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks so much for listening. All-site staff missed you. Hope you missed me, too. Producer Michael DeBonis, associate producer Amy Jurovich, assistant producer Rachel Quimby, the voice of all-sides now. Production assistants Kiram Shaban, Leticia Wiggins, Emmanuel Jochi, Annalise Dahl and Andrew Zistler. Welcome aboard, Andrew, with video production by Rich Karsmitsky and Amber Karsmitsky. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.